Fundamental to Christianity is the belief in the truth of God's Word and trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior and the Son of God. This week, we will present an archived sermon by Brother David Johnson so that we can again hear the sermon, Those Who Will Believe, based upon John chapter 17, verse 20 and following. This is the Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers support this broadcast with their prayers and contributions. We are thankful for all who have a part in this effort.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we come before you in prayer with thanksgiving for all that you do for us. We are thankful for the privilege of believing in Jesus. Lord, please use all that is said for your glory. Bless each of our listeners with good health and peace that are important to them. Be with each work of faith that strives to serve you, especially protect the persecuted Christians. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, please take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak to us on the topic, Those Who Will Believe. You can expect a blessing.
Good morning, listeners. It's great to be together again as we look into the Word, which is the will of God. This morning we'll be looking at a message entitled, Those Who Will Believe. And the text for our study this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, beginning in verse 20 and following, where the Lord Jesus Christ is praying his high priestly prayer to God the Father. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you, that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. This was the prayer of the Lord Jesus. In ancient history, Alexander the Great was sweeping across the map, conquering everyone in his path. And he was marching toward Jerusalem. But outside the city walls, the Jewish high priest stood with a group of Levitical priests, all dressed in solid white robes. The high priest wore his headdress bearing the name of God on a golden plate. Alexander called his army to a halt. He approached the high priest, impressed not by the man, not by his priestly office, but by the name of God so prominently displayed and glistening on a brilliant golden plate. Amazingly, Alexander communicated to the high priest that he dreamed about this very meeting, and then, from an old sheath, the high priest drew out a well-worn scroll of the Hebrew prophet Daniel, written more than 200 years earlier, and showed the Greek general where Daniel had prophesied. Into us, Daniel chapter 8 and verse 5 and following. Quote, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between his eyes came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. End of quote. This describing the lightning-fast defeats of all the foes of a Greek leader who would usher in the next world empire, and their leader would become great, even Alexander the Great. And so on that day in history, Alexander was in awe of the prophecy. And as he saw himself in the prophetic oracles of God, and therefore Alexander the Great spared the holy city of Jerusalem, and indeed went on to win a world empire, and become great in the annals of military history. Amazing. And yet today, in Scripture, we will see ourselves, you and me, written about 2,000 years ago concerning us. Consider the Gospel of John, chapter 17 and verse 20, where Jesus is praying and he goes on to pray, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." That's us. That's you and me in Scripture, which Jesus Christ prayed about 2,000 years ago for us who would believe through the message of the gospel by our Christian forefathers. Imagine Jesus Christ had you and me in mind 2,000 years ago and was already praying for us fervently to the Father, those who will believe. And listener, that could include you also. You can also put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and become a believer today, repenting, genuinely believing, confessing His name, being baptized, persevering in Christ Jesus as a born-again baptized believer. And we can be included. We're in Scripture. Amazing. Jesus Christ, in His prayer petitions on our behalf, had at least three basic and specific petitions regarding us, yet future, to Him, in His prayer. Jesus Christ prayed, first of all, for our unity. Secondly, for our destiny. Thirdly, for our fervency. Let's look at this closer. First, for our unity. In John 17 and verse 21, he prayed, "That all of them," that is us, "may be one." How? How one exactly? Verse 22, "That they," that is us, "may be one as we," that is the Father and the Son, "are one." And then in verse 23, "May they," that is us, "be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me." Now, many interpreters believe that this passage petition from the Son of God to God the Father has not been answered, at least not yet. True Christians, and it is true that Christians down through the centuries and today have not come to a complete unity experientially. But what is what Jesus meant here in his petition? What is it that he exactly meant? Certainly, Jesus Christ knew of the divisions and the different denominational splits and even the cults across Christendom to come. But Jesus Christ was not petitioning for Christendom, but only for the true, genuine body of Christ down through the centuries to today, to the genuine church of the Lord, to the Lord's church. Jesus Christ did not pray for complete uniformity, but for unity, for oneness in Christ. From practically the very beginning of the church, there have been differences, there have been disagreements, and certainly diversity. For example, there were divisions between the Hebraic and the Grecian believers, and then between the Jewish and Gentile believers, and those who followed Cephas or Paul or Apollos, to mention just a few. Certainly, none of these were in God's perfect will, but the church has always been made up of imperfect, diverse human beings, and of course, including today. And not only that, Jesus Christ did not pray for uniformity, that all genuine believers be exactly the same in all manner of thought and practice. Nor did Jesus Christ pray for unanimity, that is, that all future believers, including us today, be unanimous in agreement in every matter of interpretation or practice. Husbands and wives are not unanimous in private households, Neither should we expect God's household to be unanimous on everything that is not clearly laid out in Scripture. Jesus prayed for our unity, our oneness in Him, in the Lord, in God, in obedient faith, in faithfulness, just as the Father and the Son are one, as in John 17:22. In Christ, all genuine believers are one. We do have unity in Christ. We wear His name, Christian. We are genuinely in Christ. Genuine, obedient faith unites us in the Lord. We are one in the Holy Spirit. We are one in shared eternal life. And there is only one true universal church, according to Ephesians 4:4. There's only one body of Christ, the universal church of Christ upon this earth. Now, the second petition of Christ for us was for our destiny. In John chapter 17 and verse 24, Jesus prayed, "Father, I want those who You have given to Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory." And that, of course, also includes you and me, and can include you if you become a believer, even today. Our destiny is to be with Jesus in heaven, in eternity. It's our destiny as we remain faithful. Our destination is the Father's house, the mansion of John 14. Faith then will become sight, and we will see the glorified, resurrected Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, face to face. Our destiny is out of this world, literally. But our destiny is determined by our faithful union with and in Christ, persevering in Him as a genuine, born-again, baptized believer. The third petition of Christ for us, and can be for you as a believer, concerns our fervency. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and verse 26, again Jesus prayed that the love You, Father, have for Me may be in them, that is us. Jesus Christ prayed for our agape love, an unselfish love, an unself-centered love, a love first for the Savior and for others and ourselves last. He prayed for our agape love to continue to burn strong and long for the Lord until He calls us home or until He catches us up in the air. That our passion, that our zeal, that our desire, that our fervency would grow deep and wide in Him. The foremost fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, is love, from which all other fruit are derived. They begin with love. They're incorporated in love. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, we have an interesting verse. It says here, for believers, that God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Therefore, in fact, Christ's threefold petitions of unity, of destiny, of fervency are uniquely in us by God's grace and for us by God's grace and our faith. Number one, unity. We are one in Christ through genuine saving faith. We belong to one church, one universal church, one family of God as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Number two, our destiny, which is the same and is secure in Christ, and our union must be in Christ to have the destiny and the destination that is ours. And number three, the fervency of love that has not a trickle, not a drop, but been poured out into our hearts by the indwelling Holy Spirit, as we are one body, by one Spirit, in one church. Basically, Jesus Christ prayed for our comprehensive perseverance. Yes, in our unity, in our destiny, and in our fervency. And this prayer has been heard and has been answered by the Father, by Father God, about 2,000 years ago. How can we refuse Him? And this needs to be part of our witness to the world, that we can have unity in spite of all the splits, in spite of all the denominations, even the cults across Christendom, that we who are truly in Christ Jesus are one in Him. And our destiny is the same, and our fervency can be the same by the Holy Spirit. How can we refuse Him? In the book of Jude, the epistle of Jude, verse 24, it tells us here, "To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence." That is a fact from God, a statement from God, and God will do His part. But also in the epistle of Jude and verse 21, we also have an accountability and a responsibility before God, because it also tells us here in verse 21 to keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Here we see the balance. God will always do His part. We must do ours as we persevere in the unity, destiny, and fervency that Jesus prayed for. It's our responsibility and accountability to keep ourselves in God's love. You see, Alexander the Great, and he was only great in his military prowess, not spiritually, but Alexander the Great caught a glimpse of himself in Scripture and won an empire. But there's no record that he ever became a believer in the one true God of the Bible, the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He died at age 33, a broken man physically, and certainly bankrupt spiritually. We also have caught a glimpse of ourselves in Scripture, and we're already winners and victorious in Christ Jesus. But we must persevere and keep ourselves in God's love, that the world may believe that the Father has sent the Son, and that we can witness our unity in Christ, our destiny in Christ, and our fervency in Christ by the Holy Spirit. May that be our witness to the world, and may you become a believer.
Glory and may.
As we have just heard, it is of utmost importance to believe in Jesus, the Savior, and the Son of God, and to obey His teachings. If you would like to have a free CD of this and next week's program, please write to us and ask for broadcast 2123. That's 2123. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.